Strap yourselves in, people. I'm going on tour for the first time ever, and I am so here for it, bringing our wild and wonderful Glad We Had This Chat podcast to a venue near you. Promising you an unforgettable night of unbridled honesty, unfiltered opinions, F-bombs and fearlessness, come join me and a stellar lineup of special guests as we talk all things skincare and beauty, along with frank discussions about life's adventures, challenges, highlights and joys, with exclusive on-stage skincare demos, entertaining Q&As and a healthy dose of unscripted hilarity. This is Caroline Hirons, me, live and apparently on steroids. It's happening. Get your tickets now at carolinehirons.com and secure your spot. Welcome back to Glad We Had This Chat and welcome to our season two special. Glad We Had This Chat takes New York. I mean, I can't go all the way to the Big Apple and not hit up my friends old and new, can I? So grab a brew, pull up a chair, or put your headphones on and go for a run. However you listen to your podcasts, stay tuned to find out who we meet up with stateside and what they have to say. My guest today, and this is a true story, is someone who, if you search Caroline Hirons' husband on Google, his face pops up. It's not Jim, it's Jordan Samuel, fellow brand founder, funky Italian, and one of my industry husbands. Please welcome Rocky Balboa to the stage. Jordan Samuel.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good now that I'm here.
Welcome to Glad We Had This Chat New York Edition. Who'd have thought? I would have thought.
I know, but
if I'm going to do a podcast in New York, I'm obviously going to have you on it. You're going to do it whether you like it or not.
I mean, you said, will you? And I said, yes. You didn't even finish the sentence.
I'm not even sure if I said, will you? I said, this is where we'll be, at what time, and I need you there.
Yes.
So I'm glad we have that understanding. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. How are you?
Good.
How's life?
Good. I mean, TBD for the future, but right now, okay.
Yeah, everyone we speak to is a bit shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Or just a bit, whew.
Yeah.
Like, that was a lot. It was a lot. Talking about the election, just in general. It was a lot in the UK, watching it.
Right.
It was relentless coverage.
Everything has been a lot.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, yeah. So I could use some, like, Zen qualities, which I don't possess, but... We'll get there.
Hit Kevin up for some TC. You know, just give me something to help me sleep.
Oh, that, yes, exactly. I should do that.
Yeah, he gave me and Liv a little gummy thing last night, and I was slept like a baby.
Really?
Yeah. I said, what was that that knocked me out? He said it was like a microdosing of THC something, and I was like, okay. Bearing in mind, I've never done a drug in my life. I've never smoked in my life. I don't drink now. I have done. I've been hammered on many an occasion, but I don't now. So anything I take, paracetamol, ibuprofen, Aleve, I'm like, oh, that affected me. So he gave me like a teeny little gummy and I was just like, oh, sleep.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Okay.
I'm like, can I get these into the country? I'm literally going to have to Google it.
Please don't try that.
I don't think they smell like weed. I might be okay. This is a weird place to start. I'm sorry. I'll focus. Okay. How are we?
Good.
Okay, good. And we have now known each other since what year did you hit me up on Twitter? Excuse the bare feet. I'm too hot.
It was January 2014.
It's so 10
going
years.
To be 11 in...
11 years in January.
Yeah.
Tell the people what happened so that they know how we came to be. How you came to be one of my gay husbands.
I think...
Ruben.
So at that point, I would have been 4 years after aesthetic school, doing my skincare thing, didn't have... Well, the brand was sort of like baby bits of the brand. And then I saw... a video of you with the Pixie Woos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like everything
that was early on.
You were saying, I was like, yes, yes, yes. It just made sense to me. It's also stuff at the time you didn't really hear in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I remember hearing you say like, oh, right, in the States, of course, it's going to be like a highly foaming cleanser and all these things. You're talking about a balm cleanser. And
yeah.
So it fascinated me because it made sense to me with what I was seeing with skin. And then I think I just started commenting on your Twitter, but I was not getting a response.
I'm sorry about that.
So, which, I mean, you are a busy, popular woman, so obviously. But then I think I felt like I said something like, I need to...
Who do I have to sleep with or who do I have to marry to get Caroline Hirons to talk about... Or something along
yes.
those lines.
And then,
We must have it somewhere.
We do. And, you know, since then it's been love at first tweet, I guess.
And now... I don't know if it's still the way, but for a long time and for many years, if you Google Caroline Hirons and husband was one of the options, your face comes up.
So that's actually
my
favorite.
Which I find endlessly entertaining. Even Jim's like, oh, is it Jordan or me? I'm like, oh, it's one of the J's.
Yeah. I guess maybe they got that part right.
It's one of the J's. How did you get to where you are in terms of facialist, skincare, from doing ballet?
Oh.
So tell us about the ballet first.
Yes. So I do feel like this story does organically connect when I talk about it. But yes, when you hear it, you're like, what? So I trained my whole life in ballet, moved away
from... Since you were how old?
7, 8.
Wow.
So not whole life, but...
And you didn't like just train in ballet. You were a performer. Let's elaborate.
Yeah. So when I first started, it was taking lessons, doing classes, and then that quickly escalated into like, oh, there's potential here. Oh, we need to get him into that. And then there was the summer programs. And then I moved away from home at 15 to the School of American Ballet in New York City, which is, it's not like the FAME school, but it's similar. Mm-hmm. So there's a dormitory, ballet studios, you have that. And then you have a separate high school that you go for your academic classes. Some people do a correspondence program, but I did that. And then I got my first professional job at 18 in Seattle with Pacific Northwest Ballet and danced professionally for 11 years.
Insane. And you've got some good pictures of you doing, getting yourself into quite a few positions I don't think I've ever been able to do in my life. Never mind. There's a lot of splits going on and things in the air and flying through the air. And I'm
that
like,
I look
wow.
at now and I can feel it in my body, but I know if I did it, we would be...
You'd be in an ambulance.
Oh, yes, I would be like laying flat on the bed right here. And, you know, you always hear the stories of like, I got into skincare because my skin was so bad growing up. I didn't have any of that. Where my skin went off the rails was when I started performing professionally mm-hmm. because I was just slapping on stage makeup, didn't know how to remove it. And then we would have 2 show days and have to put it back on and have to remove it again. And I mean, I think about this. I never cleaned a makeup brush. Never. I probably just got a new one, so at least I didn't have the same one for 11 years. But like, so my skin was a wreck. It went from fine to sensitive to broken out to irritated. So I started getting facials really early on when I was 18 and fell in love with it. I loved what it was doing for my skin. I loved learning about products, how some were working, some weren't, what. And not the rest is history, but it really became a fascination. I was already obsessed previously. Like, fragrance was a whole part of my teenage childhood years. I know they talk about like the fragrance boys now who are like the young teenage boys who are really into fragrance. That was...
Oh, I don't know
that. I feel like I'm the OG of that.
Okay, good. I never heard of that.
So beauty was always something I was very into. And so it made sense, obviously, for me to go into something in beauty. But when the skincare situation happened, it just took off. I was obsessed with treatments. I was obsessed with products and then got injured several times. The second serious injury I had, I knew that like... A change was coming.
Imminent.
And simultaneously in Seattle, a big, brand new, shiny aesthetic school opened like down the street from us. And I felt it was very much like the writing was on the wall. And
then we both had a love affair with a certain woman from California.
Oh, gosh. Miss Kate Somerville.
Miss Kate Somerville.
Love her. Yes. And yeah. When I was in aesthetic school, she came for a book signing. Her book, which I love, Complexion, mm-hmm. Perfection, had just come out. And it was a Saturday, and we had class on a Saturday. And I said, can we go to her book signing? And they said, no. And I was like, I will buy everybody in this class her book if we can go to her book signing. And they were like, okay. And we went to her book signing. And during it, she was like, after you're done with school, like, message me. And she took me under her wing. And then I did.
Lucky bastard.
Start training for Kate Somerville skincare in, like, the Lucky Northwest region bastard. For a while. So that was...
Talk about having that as a mentor.
Oh, I know. And crazy time for her, too. That would have been 2010.
Like peak Kate Somerville.
Yeah.
Peak. Yeah. I mean, every celeb coming out of the clinic.
That was another reason I got very obsessed with you, because I remember you talking about oil-free, nourish, deep tissue repair, the OG Kate Somerville moisturizers.
What a gang of moisturizers like, that truly, was. I mean,
truly.
My pain is that in selling to Unilever, they ended up discontinuing and then reformulating. Right. You didn't need to touch Nourish. There was nothing wrong with it.
Nothing.
There was nothing wrong with oil-free. Don't fuck with it. Why are you touching it?
I know.
Like, why?
I know.
And anyway, what can you do?
I know. Nourish. I think even still to this day, I could pop it on as a day cream. No issue.
No issue. Love it.
And so many skins could. It smelled amazing. It mm-hmm. felt amazing. It wore
I remember
amazing.
Going into Bergdorf's and she had a counter.
Mm-hmm.
It's around the back where the fragrance is now, but around the back. And it was a big round circle. And I remember thinking, I remember going, fuck, this is impressive. And in my head, I vaguely remember going, oh, I could do this one day. And then quickly just moving on from it and just like, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, like, oh, no, I couldn't do that. And then like getting her book. and being like, how cool is this? You've got a book and a counter in Bergdorf's and...
Look at you now.
Well, I'm not in Bergdorf's, but it's okay. I am in there. I'm just not on a counter. I'm in there myself walking around going, oh, it's Bergdorf. Mm-hmm. And I've got to go and see the windows. I haven't done them yet. Have they done the Christmas windows yet?
They should be up. I have not seen them either. Yeah, we need to actually go do that.
Maybe we should go do that.
Yeah.
So you do that. And then when you're in Seattle, you do your training, you meet Kate Somerville, and you also meet a man. I'm talking about your husband. Jesus Christ. It's like spoon feeding a kitten. Ben, his name's Ben. Ben.
Yes, which we actually have. I don't even know if you know this story. The story is quite serendipitous. So yes, I met my husband, who was a former professional ballet dancer as well in Seattle. But we realized after we had dated for about a year, he talked about like, oh yeah, when I went to SAB before the School of American Ballet, before the summer course, we went to check out the dormitory because like we thought I might be staying there for the year. And I said, oh my God, I was in the elevator with you. We realized that we actually had a connection. So he would have been 15, I would have been 18. And he was in the elevator with his parents. And I, to be clear, nothing was happening at that time.
No. I was not insinuating that in any way whatsoever. That's not what I was trying to insinuate.
But he was 15 at the time. I was 18. He was with his parents. And the head of the dormitory was in there. And of course, they were trying to like showcase and... They were like, this is Jordan. He just got his first professional job. And of course, showing like that the students, you know, move on to get jobs. And we remembered that about a year after we started, because it was sort of like, at that point, I'm sure he was like, who is this? And I'm like, who is this? And nothing came of it, of course. And I didn't see him after that. But because we have so many friends in the ballet world and industry, we knew of each other. And I'd been in Seattle since 1999. He moved there in 2005. And it just so happened that we both lived walking distance from work, and he was renting an apartment in the building right next to mine. So we started walking to work together every morning, and it was truly like, it was a very serendipitous story.
Very handy.
We've now, it's going to be 20 years next year. Is that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah. But I didn't remember him, obviously.
You didn't remember him, but yeah, the guy you married, yeah. And so how long are you in the ballet for? 11 years?
11 years professionally, yes.
And then you finish, what makes you think... Number one, I'm going to do faces. Number two, I'm going to do my own brand.
I feel like it actually happened the other way. I was watching when Martha Stewart had her new but old talk show. She had somebody on, or she said, it was something like, what would you do if money wasn't an issue, wasn't an object? And it really got me thinking. And it was at a time where I'd broken my foot for the second time in 2 years. So I was laid up again.
Did you do that when you were drunk falling out of the club, or were you actually dancing?
I was dancing. I know. It would actually be a much more fun story.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I would love to have, like, again, I was really into products at that point and what was being used on me in facials and what I was using at home. And so I thought, oh, it'd be so cool to have a product line. Getting that in my mind, but not thinking it was going to happen anytime soon. And then knowing that I would want to have the knowledge with that. So that's where the aesthetics aspect came in. So went to school for aesthetics. Immediately, I retired from the ballet in June 2010. And then in August 2010, I started aesthetic school. Graduated from there, started in a day spa, which was great. The problem, which I didn't realize, was my books were filled, but it was like eyebrow wax, leg wax, Brazilian wax.
Kill me facial. Now. And I was Kill me now. I do not want to touch your pubic hair.
Because then others wanted to do the waxing because they could do it quicker and they could make more money. And I was like, that's fine. Give me your facial. Like, I want to do skin.
Yeah.
So that actually worked. But then I sort of got, like, it still was, then I was doing body, I was taking away from what I was really trying to do. And then at that point, Kate Somerville, the brand, needed somebody to sort of train in the Northwest region. And so I started doing that while simultaneously doing a private practice thing. And then that just grew. And then
and you're how old by this time?
Oh, God.
Well, what year are we at?
It would have been, at that point, I would have been like 30, 31. And then...
So you did ballet for a long time.
Yeah, from 18 to 29.
Wow.
And then I had my Oprah moment, which was I was looking for a brand to use in facials and to have, like, you know, to buy in and carry all the products and everything. At that time, there was very few brands that would be specific for a small spa or a private practice. So some of these brands would, it was like a $15,000 buy-in because they wanted you to have 10 of every SKU initially, plus testers, plus, you know, samples, plus all the education material and all, which I understand, but it doesn't make sense for a one room, one person facility. And I knew, well, A, I didn't have that money, but I knew that if I was even thinking about that, I was like, Oprah moment, invest in yourself. I'm like, well, I can start something here. And I started just calling around to different labs to say, I have this idea. I can't do the minimums. If we can take them down slightly, I do feel like there's something here. And one lab said yes, and we're actually still with them for a majority of our
products.
Good. Yeah. Good vibes. Good juju.
So when do you launch? What year?
So there's a few things because there's been like a few layers to it. The facial studio and like some little like facial oils that I just mixed up myself was in October 2013. Mm-hmm. But what people know of the brand today is October 2015, which is crazy because that'll be 10 years. It's already been officially 10 years.
When it comes to healthy skin, collagen is queen. It's basically the scaffolding that keeps your skin firm, bouncy, and hydrated. And if you're wondering if you really need a collagen supplement, the answer is yes, especially if you're over 25 and gravity has started doing its thing. Sadly, collagen drops off a cliff as we age. How rude. But Ancient & Brave's True Collagen is a fantastic way to give your skin its mojo back. Exceptional quality and ethically produced, True Collagen contains highly absorbable collagen peptides and is scientifically shown to support skin elasticity, hydration, and firmness. Just one scoop a day is a simple way to nourish your skin and body from within. It's tasteless. No, really, it's really tasteless, guys. Dissolves like a dream and will not ruin your morning cuppa. Glowing skin, stronger nails, and hair that actually behaves itself? Yes, please. Ancient & Brave are proud members of 1% for the Planet, meaning that 1% of their sale goes directly to environmental causes that protect our planet. Every time you buy from Ancient & Brave, you're not just investing in your well-being, you're contributing to a healthier planet too. To experience True Collagen for yourself, visit ancientandbrave.earth/planet and use Caroline for 20% off your first order.
Here we are, folks. The most insanely efficacious, sensorial, luxurious cleansing balm in the world has landed. I don't need to tell you what it takes to put my name to a cleansing balm, and this one had one mother of a brief. The Skin Rocks Cleansing Balm is the best balm ever created, and one I would choose every single time over anything I've ever used. 5 roller coaster years of fearless ambition, sky-high expectation, tears, triumphs, and F-bombs. No pressure then, but what a result. Undoubtedly my most anticipated product, this was by far the hardest to make. The texture and crunch that took 4 years to perfect, its ability to decimate literally everything on your face, the R in a jar scent, the paperweight heavy hot pink glass, I mean literally everything I adore in a cleanser has been distilled into one glorious jar and it is absolutely spectacular. Transforming from a solid balm to a rich replenishing oil, this barrier nourishing balm is formulated with the same innovative lipid advanced complex as the support oil to deliver supreme skin barrier support and help improve skin firmness, elasticity, and hydration. There is simply nothing like it. It's £55, it's ready and waiting, and there is no dupe.
So, going back, though, before we jump to where we met and Hall of Fame and fabulous things like that, what's your earliest memories of beauty or skin or fragrance or anything that just makes you think, oh, that was this?
Earliest memories of beauty was actually a ballet teacher at School of American Ballet. So, I mean, there were things earlier, certainly, but something that really, I feel like, laid the foundation. And I know people love or hate this fragrance. And it actually wasn't the fragrance she was wearing, but it smelled like Angel by Terry Mugler. Mm-hmm. I'd never smelled anything like it. It was 1996. Mm-hmm. It would have just come out. Mm-hmm. And I was just like enamored with it. And I remember, and then they had just launched Angel for Men. And so I went and got that.
That is an intense fragrance to be enamored by. My God.
I know, right?
I have PTSD of it being sprayed next to me on counter. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to pass out like keep spraying this.
But that is definitely something that laid the groundwork. And then I would take people. I would have an allowance from my parents, or I would do like work behind the desk at the dormitory to make some money. And I would spend all my money on, I would take my friends to Bloomingdale's and I would make them buy fragrance with me.
As you do.
And then what happened was, and this was sort of the initial skincare connection too, Bulgari. They have that beautiful green tea fragrance. And there was a moment in time in 99, I believe, they came out with a green tea skincare line, and it was all scented with that scent. And that was like a skincare fragrance combination that was orgasmic to me. And so I have obviously younger memories than that, but those two are, I feel like, very impactful and like rooted in where I am today.
How did that lead to what you then decided to make as product? Because you're like me, you don't do a full like 15, 20 step routine. You kind of make, you choose, you're picky, you're like this and that. And then you and you don't release anything in sequence, which I don't either, because why be basic?
No, exactly.
Why give the people what they want?
How it started out initially was first with the cleanser. That made sense to me with the ballet background, with, and when I was doing facials, I was, you know, ultrasonic exfoliation, of course. So I had done, this was before our products were out, I had done a double cleanse in the facial treatment and then was doing ultrasonic exfoliation.
What did you use in the treatment room?
God, at that point, I would have used...
Albaline. Grease.
It would have probably been like Control Corrective, because they were a small brand, or they were a big brand, but they would do small like buy-ins for private practices. But then I was doing ultrasonic exfoliation, and you should be wiping it off and it should be coming out clean or clear, but there was still like makeup coming out of people's pores. And that's what I was like, I want to develop a cleanser. That was sort of my, where I wanted to go. And then most of the products have been inspired by the treatment room, of course, because seeing people, you know, have issues with vitamin C, but not realizing they're having issues with a high percentage of ascorbic acid or whatever it is. And not wearing SPF properly, or not wearing, you know, not removing their makeup properly, not cleansing properly, which not cleansing properly is, it's a whole nother episode. But so it sort of came from that. And then it was more, you know, a lot of times, and I'm sure you've been through this, there are some products with the chemist and with you and with the formula and whatever, it just clicks. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like really not against the grain at all. And then there's other products that for whatever reason, they just feel so against the grain. Mm-hmm. Again, not based on the chemist, the formula, anything. It's just what you envision in your head, what you're trying to get to, and what's being brought out isn't like, and so I felt that that's sort of how it goes. Like basically if we have something ready to go, we launch it.
Yeah, if you have something ready to go, you launch it. Yeah. When it's ready, you'll get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Susan.
Yes. It's true.
When do you make the jump to the jump? See what I did there?
Ah.
What's it called in ballet?
Jump.
It is a jump?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, jeté, but like jump. Like we.
When do you jeté from the ballet to I'm a brand founder? What's the process?
Well, the process was rough and it took a while, because even when it happened...
Ben left the ballet after you, didn't he? Because I've known you since Ben left the ballet.
Yeah. It was definitely a process, because so in terms of years, it was, I retired from the ballet in June 2010, and then sort of October 2013, so I guess a little over, like 3.5 years about. However, I didn't really feel like, it was definitely imposter syndrome for a long while, because I still felt like I had a foot in the ballet world, because you're going from the top of one career to starting brand new in another. And I was doing all these things well, but it still just felt like it wasn't, I wouldn't say until 2017, 2018, I actually felt like a brand founder.
Though
it started in 2013, it took a while.
It takes a while. It's exhausting. It's your whole life as well. I mean, I always laugh because obviously I do a lot of interviews as well. And when people say about work-life balance, I'm like,
I know. The thing is, I obsess over it because I like to think I have it.
Don't be ridiculous. You've got your own brand.
But I was going to say, I like to think I have it because I have flexibility, because I can answer that email in line at a Starbucks or like...
That's not the same thing, Jordan.
Which is nothing about work-life balance. It just is like...
It just means you can work while you're having your life.
I know, which is...
That's kind of all it means.
Yes, I know.
So you have your own facial room, clinic? What do you have?
Yes, so back in the day in 2013, we had a beautiful townhouse in Seattle and the whole bottom floor was empty. And I was like, here we go, little facial room. So that's how we started, which meant growth was slow because we didn't advertise it. So it was really like the clientele I had built up at that point. I relied heavily on the ballet connections and being known in the ballet. And then in 2014, literally right around the time I would have harassed you on Twitter, I opened...
I would like to put in a complaint. And I was harassed.
They might not help you now. There's, I mean...
Elon's not coming to my aid. It's fine.
A standalone space, beautiful space in Seattle that was huge. That was a facial room. And then behind the facial room, there was room to store product, to ship product. So initially, of course, it was small. So I was doing all the shipping myself with the help of Ben and friends and facials. And it was just the perfect space. And then the product line grew. I had to go into a warehouse, which fine. But then I had all this space and there was no point in me having all this space. So then I moved into a smaller facial studio space and then did facials up until March 2020 when everything shut down.
Yeah.
And the point was to move to New York. Always we kept that plan. I was going to open a private practice here. But then in 2020 and 2021, it kept going. Mm-hmm. Like they would be open, they would close. They would open, they would close. They kept changing the rules on it.
There's no longevity there. You can't plan.
And then I thought we were going to get a deal of a century. I was like, oh, it's the pandemic. We'll get a great deal. We started looking. No, the deals were terrible.
Why was that, do you think, in New York?
Well,
I think similar in London. I think they thought people were going to come back to work quicker than they did, and they just did not.
What we realized, and I don't know if this was the reason for it, but I think it's certainly a part of it, is that bigger office spaces and bigger companies were downsizing because people, even if it wasn't full-time work from home, there would be like work from home on Monday or Wednesday, or they'd stagger it.
Yeah.
So because of it, they went down to like medium-sized spaces. Medium-sized business went down to the smaller spaces.
And
so
took everything that you could use.
So the only spaces that were actually left were these enormous, enormous spaces. And so it was hard to find stuff. And then when you did find stuff, it was a diamond, but it was truly a diamond. Like we found a place that was storefront, 500 square feet, on 76th and Madison, and it was something like $20,000 a month. I'm like, right? Like, I also don't know what can go in there for that price besides jewelry.
Yeah.
Because it's such a small space.
$4,000
and you have to turn over,
I mean, you've got to be a Fenty.
Exactly.
To be truly, able to do that.
Like, exactly.
And or just, you know, if it has like endless treatment rooms, you might be able to make that, but that's hard.
No, it just didn't make sense. And then at that same time, the brand started to take off. You started to do these amazing kits and the brand really started to take off. And so it also, my time just became different.
Yeah.
And I still think of going back in the treatment room, but I think it would be too hard because what's going to happen now is I'm just going to add work to my plate. I'm not going to like,
no. And people, you can reach more people doing what you're doing now.
Yeah.
That's what that's what I say now. Like I can reach more people doing this.
Exactly.
The book, the app, you know, online, Insta and live. I can reach far more people than doing, even on a day if I was doing 5-6 clients a day, at the end of it, I'm absolutely exhausted. The next day I have to recover. Then I would do another day in clinic and then the next day I'd have to recover. Right. That left me one working day a week. I can't do it. I can't run my company on one day a week.
See, I like hearing this because this is how I feel. It's like in my head, it sounds like a good idea. And like, yes, I want to get back to it. But now I've started doing, I do events at CO Bigelow and I do, and exactly. So I'm still seeing.
You haven't offered me a facial, bitch.
Well, where are we going to like?
I'll come to you or you can come to my hotel.
Okay.
Come and pat on my face, please.
Oh, God, I would love to. Yes. I
need some effleurage, petrissage. I need some kneading on my face. Make sourdough with my cheeks.
I'm thinking of like Nerida's hands right now, like
massage. Oh, Nerida's hands. Right. Oh, Nerida. Mm-hmm. So you moved to New York.
So then we moved to New York. People are always like, you moved to New York during the pandemic. The thing
was the plan.
That was the plan. We kept.
You could move during the pandemic. We moved in the pandemic.
We did get a great deal. We were renting. We did get a great deal on that, not on retail space, but on living space, because everybody was leaving, of course. But, you know, we were going from Seattle to New York. Seattle was the first U.S. spot that got COVID and became sort of like a hot spot. And then New York became sort of.
Of course.
The biggest, but like.
Inevitably.
We weren't going from like, you know, rainbows and sparkles. But like it was still a lockdown either place.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So we're still in lockdown.
We just.
You are allowed to move house.
Yes.
The world cannot stop.
Right.
It did. Right. But it cannot fully stop. Right. People have to eat. People have to live.
Exactly. So, in September 2020, we moved back to New York City. I was originally born outside of Philadelphia, so family is.
I did not know that. And when you told me that this week, I was like, you're from Rocky World.
Yeah. And it sort of makes sense, right? With the voice sometimes and with the Tuesday talk.
My God. My God.
But so I have family in the city. I have family in Philadelphia. My parents are as far east as our family goes, which is Cleveland, Ohio. So Ben is on the West Coast, but my family is all on the East Coast.
And where does the Italian come from?
My father's side. I know I'm Italian and Ukrainian. I'm Ukrainian on my mom's side.
Are you?
So I'm like a passionate.
I'm learning something new every time this trip.
I'm a passionate hardhead. Like it's not the best combination.
No. You Never. A passionate hardhead, someone I'm friends with, never.
But then also sensitive, so it's like not the best combination.
You are a sensitive flower.
Oh, very.
You are a sensitive flower.
Like internally, externally.
I have lots of friends who are sensitive flowers who are outgoing and extrovert, and then they'll message and I'll be like, are you okay? Do you need a hug? And they're like, yes.
Uh-huh. It's true though. What is that?
I don't know. I think I attract butterflies.
I always say
like, I'm a butterfly. I'm flying here. But then they're like, oh, actually.
I say I'm a sheep in wolf's clothing, like the opposite of the saying, because I feel like my.
But I have days like that.
My bark is bigger than my bite.
No, my bark is not bigger than my bite.
That's.
I can't relate.
Opposites attract.
I can't relate. But I think we all have those moments. Because I think as well, when you do job that we do, which is a mixture of like retail and hands on.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of empathy that you have, and you can only have that if you felt it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like when we're hiring staff and stuff, you can't teach passion. So if someone is really good at one thing and you can teach them another skill set, fantastic. But you can't teach a personality.
No.
You know, so you could have someone who's a brilliant at hands-on facials, but they can't sell.
Right.
Fine. Utilize people at their best.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, as we grow, that's what we hire on. And I try to I've had to do stuff myself just because of the nature of our business, which I like doing because then I know what goes into it. I know, but then I also know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And then we hire on those skill sets because just building
hire people who are better than you.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Hire people who are better than you.
Exactly.
Was there a pivotal moment where you thought, oh, either this could be something or, oh, wow, now I've arrived. Like, what was your pivotal kind of like, oh, that now this is something I could do forever rather than, I'm still kind of doing this. I'm still figuring it out. Did you have a moment of clarity where you were like, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be?
It was that 2017, 2018 period. It just felt like, oh, wait, this is actually a sustainable brand now.
Mm-hmm.
And like we are here. People are interested in the products. People want new products. They want new SKUs. They're interested in what I have to say. Also, it was sort of the height of Instagram too. People were actually seeing your content then.
Yeah. Funny that. It wasn't full of bots.
And no.
What a world.
I know. So strange. But it was that 2017, 2018 period where it really sort of took a turn for the better. Not that it was bad before, but it really was like, okay, I feel that I'm a brand founder. I feel what I have to say is important. I feel people want to listen to me.
Don't want to hear you say, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? And now you're in New York.
Yes.
We're all friends.
Yes.
We all hang out.
Yes.
What a time to be alive.
I know.
I mean, there's a gang of us. We've got a gang.
It really is amazing. That is the one amazing thing about New York and the connections and all the people that are here. And
everyone's just, we're just friends.
I know.
And I feel like in the UK, that doesn't really happen the same way.
That's what's so interesting. People always ask about that too.
Yeah.
For me, I definitely know it has something to do with the ballet background because you're constantly competing with your friends.
Yeah,
so
of course, yeah.
There still is competition.
I mean, it's that competition, but nothing's going to stop me supporting my friends and their business.
Well, that's the thing, and there's a reality to it. Like, not everybody can get on with the same product. Not everybody can.
And everyone's sold in different channels, right?
Exactly.
You know, we're all different areas. Joanna's got her own clinics.
Yep.
You know, and online, you've got online, mm-hmm. and then now you're in CEO Bigelow, which is one of my favorite places in New York.
So great.
It's like a crack den.
Yes.
They should call it Crack Den Bigelow. CD Bigelow.
Maybe
I'm going to put that to them today.
Yeah.
And be like, hi, Sarah.
It's so true. I mean, oh my God, that's a story.
I just walk in, I'm like this.
It is. And it's like, and they also get such unique niche things. That's what I love about it too. There's something on the door that says like, if you can't find it anywhere, try Bigelow or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sort of feels that way to me. And that's what I love about it. But yes, I feel like nobody, at least in our circle, is aggressively competing with each other. Like we're all like going to the top. But
we're all friends. We're all going together. We're going on a little journey together.
Yes. And that's the other thing.
Everyone's journey's different.
Is to message you and say like, oh my God, are you, like, is X, Y, and Z happening today? Or like,
I'm usually like, yes, it is happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, everyone's a pain in the ass.
And I hate that it's like misery loves company, but it does make me feel better.
Yeah, but joy loves company too. You know, we've done so much fun stuff. You think about Hall of Fame.
Oh my God.
When you, the stroke of genius with you at Hall of Fame was that you pretended you were in New York, so everyone was thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
You were posting pictures of you on the sofa with your sick cat, and I'm like, he's already in the country. This man is a genius. And then so when you came out and I said, it's Jordan Samuel, and they lost their shit. And then, of course, the word spread, and everyone was like, well, he's in the morning group. He's not going to be in our group. And then we got you back. And they were like, oh, it was so much fun.
I have such great memories of that. I remember
that trip
when
was
you told us about it. You and Holly and I think Josie were on the call. And I remember like,
made you come.
Well, I was like, can we come? And at first it was like, well, we're not doing brand thing. It had evolved, obviously.
But you were always going to come. And then because you were coming, I had to phone May.
Yes.
Like, May, Jordan's coming. She was like, that bastard. Right, I'm coming. And I'm like, well, just come. Everybody just come.
Oh my God. It was magical. Like truly like a moment in time. Winter fall.
Yeah, 21. Winter fall, 21. Yeah. Just like we're still in COVID. Everyone still had to present COVID tests. But we could do things. And then we did like 5 30-minute-ish sessions a day. They sold out in, we crashed Eventbrite. They sold out in like 6 minutes, but people didn't know what session they were coming to or who was going to be the guest. Yeah. It was all a surprise. And because that, what that meant was if you were delayed on your flight and we had to move you to another day, no one was going to kick off and, you know, be furious with me. So that was,
oh my God, it was magic.
And then when you came out dancing and we had people fanning themselves, they were just like, oh my God, it's Jordan.
I mean, it was such an amazing time, but such a weird time. We were just talking how in the afternoon session, I answered a question that was like, excuse me, I have to go get a COVID test because I had to leave the next day on a plane and had to like present.
You had
COVID
to like,
test
it to, was like, just, what a time.
I know.
I mean, I can't believe
it was like
we lived
a lifetime
through it.
Ago.
That's kind of my thinking of like, you know, I know it sounds strange and I don't mean it in any way to be dismissive because you know where I stand, but the whole thing around the election, not to dwell, not to go back, but we are where we are. We have been here before. And since then, we've also had COVID.
Right.
Like, we've been through a lot already, guys. You know, I mean, just keep throwing it at us. We're clearly resilient. Abortion is gone. You know, at some point, they're going to have to bring that back, or women my age are going to set fire to the world.
There was Catherine Hahn, who is George Hahn's cousin.
Cousin. I know, because we also love him.
Human rights campaign speech. And she said, you know, the universe doesn't give you what you can't handle, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Can we get a fucking break?
That's how I feel.
There are a few things in life that just keep on giving for $3.99 a month. A floppy fuel station sarnie, one small cup of bougie overpriced coffee. I don't think so. Or for the same price, you could be getting a month's worth of skincare insights and know-how from yours truly. A wealth of fresh, expertly written articles on all things skincare and beauty. From our free to download version for essential educational content to our elevated premium experience, the SkinRocks app will revolutionize how you shop and learn about skincare. Whether you're a novice building your first routine, an aficionado wanting deep scientific expertise, or someone looking for the inside scoop on beauty newness, it's all in one pocket-friendly place on the SkinRocks app. With simple-to-use functions that let you filter for your personal profile, save your favorite content, and explore a vast product library with ease, it's no wonder it's called the Google of skincare. Unlock a world of incredible premium content for just $3.99 a month, $34.99 a year, or get a special discount via the podcast with code CHPOD to get £10 off your annual subscription.
We're going to do some little quick fire. It's going to be easy. You can be buzzer ready, like Ellen with the buzzer. Okay. What's been your biggest beauty or skincare disaster?
That I've like done to myself?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So I used to dye my hair all the time and loved it. Even when people were like, that's not you. I was like, this is great.
I love it.
I was living in denial, obviously. But I actually think for me, it might have been in aesthetic school when we were you would have to get a peel a day. And I remember being like, oh, you can do it on me. Oh, you can do it on me. Mm. Because at that point, like,
I didn't know what barrier repair meant.
Exactly. Which I still feel, which is why I'm a delicate flower today, is because of that. So I actually would have to say that I was the sort of overly confident volunteer for like, give me the peel, like take everything off. And now my skin's still like.
And now your skin's like, bitch, put it back, put it back. Dumbass. If your bathroom's on fire, what are you saving?
Oh, no.
Yeah. The cat's fine, Ben's fine. What are you saving that's like superficial?
In the bathroom.
Or wherever you keep your things in beauty. Like it can be your fragrance collection. It can be whatever, your first prototypes of your product. Like, what are you going to be like, shit, I cannot lose this?
Probably that fragrance bottle that I brought that's over there, because it's
that,
like,
Jesus Christ, that smells good.
I'm really excited. I mean, like, again, fragrance was a first passion.
Tell us where it came from. Tell us what it's called, because this will be out after it's on sale.
Yeah, this is our first fragrance. And this is another serendipitous story that I'll try to wrap up. But there was a perfumer who Ben and I came back from a long Italy trip in 2022 with a bunch of little vials. And I said, it'd be interesting if we can go on like one of these fragrance websites and see if there's like a common denominator. And this one perfumer did like 80 or 90% of the scents we loved and brought back. So I'm like, I want him to do our perfume. Messaged him on Instagram, nothing. He never saw the message, yada, yada, yada. Messaged a friend in Italy who has a barbershop. And he said, oh, my friend actually has a big fragrance manufacturing plant. They do small business like runs of stuff. Connected with them. This is how it came about. When we went to meet with them to like start testing stuff, he said, the cool thing is, while it's a small business program, we have one of the best perfumers in Italy. He's award-winning. I said, if you say it is Luca Maffei, I'm going to drop out of my chair. And he was like, it's Luca Maffei. How the hell do you know who Luca Maffei is? I'm like, I've been trying to work with him for 2 years now. And so now Luca and I are best friends. Now he responds to me.
The only thing that I've smelled like it even vaguely before is Amanda Lacey. When she made her fragrances and they were really hard to get hold of. She had them for a while. And then she occasionally made like, I think she did like a shower. I want to say she did like a body wash.
Yes.
And they were stunning.
I was like, I feel that like
that is
have
in
a similar
vein.
Oh yeah. So the name is Cortile Dolce, which means a sweet courtyard. This is our like Sicilian inspired fragrance.
Cortile Dolce.
It's going to be at Bigelow and online at Jordan Samuel Skin. We of course cannot ship globally. We're going to try to bully Cult Beauty into carrying
it. But it's not an atomizer. Like it's a spray. It's not like it's aerosol.
It's the 80% alcohol. This has been like a learning process for me with the like.
Jesus.
I know. Anyway, so I'm saving that this bottle because at this point, this is actually all I've left of it.
I'm sorry. I just sprayed it.
No. That's fine. We're getting more. It's launching in 2 weeks.
I'm sorry. Okay. What is your, not your product, but what is your buy it for life product? What do you like always have if you're going shopping? What are you going to get? Like, where are you going? What is it?
Beauty.
Yeah.
There's three that come to mind.
Okay, I'll take all three. My starter for three is?
One is yours, but I haven't actually tried it yet. But after I need to get the balm on my face.
Okay, great. You can have that. You'll be doing that tonight. That's fine.
I'm so excited.
So we have a mutual friend, Kevin James Bennett. He's not great on WhatsApp or text.
Oh, is that real?
Yeah.
I didn't know he wasn't great on that.
If he's awake and he's on it, he's on it. But if he's not, he's like, I fucking forgot I got my phone.
Right, okay, right? Yeah.
So I said to him when we left the restaurant last night, I said, I want you to text me when you try this. He went, I'm not going to text you. I said, WhatsApp me. He said, I'm not going to WhatsApp you. So I get back to the hotel, I get into bed, I lie down, and I get the text that reads along the lines of, holy fuck, I've just used this cleansing balm on my face. We are going to talk on Thursday. Holy fuck.
I'm so excited.
And I went, you've made my night. Good night. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
So here's the thing about it. I haven't used it, to be fair. However, I've used almost all of your other products. The new ones are the ones I have not used yet. You know, with fragrance, how you start to get like Amanda Lacey, I would blind buy a fragrance from her without smelling it because I understand her style. I know what's into it.
Exactly.
To me, I'm doing that with all of your products, but if there was anyone that was going to be like, oh, this is it, it would be a cleansing balm. It would be an acid, of which I've used the acids and loved, and the cleansing balm is going to be that. But the thing that I've smelled the scent before, I love the scent. I love the pink. I love the orangey gold.
Yep.
But what took me away, like when Nikita opened that and like I smell, I mean, that was like done. So, I mean, I feel like that's going to be on the, and we don't have a balm cleanser. So that's
you
there.
You can have that as your number one.
Then I call it deep tissue repair. But
we all call it deep tissue repair, Peptide Kate. I understand. I mean, it's a surprising, really, she got away with calling it deep tissue repair for so long.
Like the more you know, right? And now I'm
But
like,
I understand, but it's always going to be.
How do they call it?
It's always going to be DTR to those that know.
Yes.
We're like
I
DTR.
I mean, so that.
Peptide, it's not Peptide K8.
Yes.
It's fucking Peptide Kate.
Peptide Kate.
Oh my God.
The texture, the smell.
The ease.
I love how the ease.
Slip, the
no,
silk.
Like, oh God.
It makes me do that.
And I know they came out with the other one that was very similar.
No, like, it's not.
But it's not the same.
It's not a patch. It's not a patch. They tried to sell me down that river. I was like, I appreciate it. It's a good product. It's not Peptide Kate.
Same. I felt the same way. I was like, okay, no, I'm okay with
this. Take your newness and sit down. But bring back Nourish and Oil Free and I'll talk to you.
and I think, you know, the other product, it's going to blend with the first one, but it's because of you.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm jet lagged. But the ADHD is out of control. I've had caffeine and it's you and I've known you forever. I'm just spoiling.
This to me is actually a normal conversation.
Yeah, this is what's normal. Everyone else is like, how do we keep up? Like playing tennis.
Amanda Lacey Cleansing Pomade.
Yeah.
Because I had not retired from the ballet yet and was going into aesthetic school. And there was the September issue. And at the very end of that documentary about the Vogue September issue, they're in a meeting and somebody says, like, oh, my friend Amanda Lacey makes great products. So I was like, oh, what is this brand? Mm-hmm. And I, like, looked it up and saw this cleansing pomade and hadn't known of a balm cleanser at that point. And so mm-hmm. still to this day, it's the first balm cleanser I'd ever tried. And the smell, I mean, I love the smell. I love, it's also sort of how I found you, met you. And so it has good memories.
I like your picks.
Those are my, I mean, and they're actually all related to
us. We may as well get married. Yeah. Okay, what is your favorite smell of a product?
Oh, God. The three I just mentioned. I mean, okay, true, like.
Easy, I should have just rolled them into one.
Because actually, funny enough, so we are primarily, we had a scented cleanser, which we no longer have because the raw material supplier stopped carrying that scent, which pisses me off. That's all another issue. But we're primarily a fragrance-free brand. I'm sensitive, delicate flower. That's what I go towards. However, in terms of scent, those three, I know you asked for one. I would say those three. I mean, we'll add Lindstrom Blue Cocoon in there. Oh, Joanna Vargas Vitamin C Cleanser. There's a lot of like...
A lot of ones that we have friends.
Yes.
For sure.
I mean, the smell of your balm cleanser, that took me out. Like, that was all I needed to know.
You ready for some quick fire? Like,
I'll actually be quick fire now. I'll actually stop chatting.
Okay. Sephora or Ulta?
Oh, shit.
I know, it's tragic, right?
Bigelow?
I'm coming to that. So you can pick one of these healthily. It's fine.
Sephora.
Bigelow or Duane Reade?
Bigelow.
I mean, it's an obvious. Yeah. Bigelow or Sephora?
Bigelow.
I wonder why. AM routine or PM routine?
Oh, PM.
Nice. What were you going to say before I said AM or PM? You went,
I was going to say, to be fair, I love the like quirkiness of the brands in Bigelow and they're all like.
Yeah. So. And it's clean.
Yes.
City break or country escape?
I want to, like, I feel like I romanticize the country break, but I am a city person, so. Mm-hmm.
But you do like to go to Italy, which isn't necessarily big cities.
No, but we do, we love Rome.
I love Rome.
I love the insanity of Naples. Oh my God, I love the insanity of Naples. I love Palermo. They're making up like which lanes are actually on the road.
Why don't you just say you're in the Mafia and be done with it?
But city.
Shopping online or shopping in store?
For beauty?
Both.
Oh.
Beauty and everything else.
I think because I really know for the most part what I love for beauty, shopping online for beauty, shopping in store for clothes and such.
Things of that nature. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask so that you can respond. Dogs or cats?
Cats, because we have them, but...
Don't disappoint me and say but.
Cats.
But you would have a dog if you had a big house in the country or something.
No, we would not have a dog. It's just like, I am obsessed with animals. I just think they're like the best, cutest thing ever.
Cats are better.
We love cats.
Great. Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say shoes or bags, but I don't think that's really appropriate for you. Oh. I like the way you're like, well, I'll give you shoes.
Yeah.
Night in or night out?
Night in.
Now, you've been to the UK many times. You know the UK and food. So I'm not going to change this to like Raising Cane's versus whatever. What did I say earlier? Chick-fil-A. Okay. Like, I thought Raising Cane's was good. I didn't think it was the best thing on earth that everyone makes out it is.
Okay.
Just putting that out there. Nando's or Wagamama's?
Huh? The one I know, Wagamama's or whatever.
Wagamama's.
Like, that I know. What's the other one?
Nando's is the chicken. The one that everyone's obsessed with. Like when Kanye West used to come over for the Brit Awards, like our Grammys, he would take over the whole of Nando's and buy like $500 worth of Nando's for his crew. Oh. It's like chicken that ranges from mild, like no spice, mild, lemon and herb, medium, hot, extra hot. And then you can have the chicken anyway. And there's like chicken thighs, chicken breast split. And then there's like all the sides. So the sides are like corn on the cob. I mean, I'm just basically an advert for that. I'm making Justin hungry.
I mean, that.
It's not fried either.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
And it's grilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nando's?
Yeah. Okay. In the UK, it's actually called a cheeky Nando's. So it's like, should we go for a cheeky Nando's?
Oh, I want to.
And we would have a cheeky Nando's for lunch in the office. Like, we're going to get a cheeky Nando's, guys. And everyone's like, oh. So when I'm doing interviewing people in the UK, I don't even say Nando's or Wagamama's. I would say, like, here I'd have to say, what's your McDonald's order?
Right.
So it's what's your Nando's order? And people just list it off.
That sounds...
In the way that I once caught out my stepdad, who used to swear blind to my mother that he wasn't eating extra food at work because he was putting on weight. And my mum would go, I make your lunch.
Right, like
my mother never swore in her life. I've heard her say shit maybe once. She never swore, but in her head, I know she's going, "You're a fucking liar." Like, literally. And he would go, "I don't eat anything outside of my lunch. What are you talking about?" And I once went, "Steve, I'm going to pop to Subway. Do you want anything?" And he listed his order like he was in Starbucks.
Right.
And I was like, there "Yeah, you do two lunches, dude. I'm going to grass you up." Uh-huh. And I literally went to my mum, went, "Mum, guess what?" She was like, I now know where Steve gets his second lunch. Because I think she thought he was having an affair, as if.
Oh.
You're never going to go near anything that's near my mother's level, is it? And I said, I just asked Steve what he wanted, if he wanted anything for Subway, and he listed off his order like immaculately, down to the bread, toasted with this. And then she was like, And that was it. I'm like, I'm always going to grass you up to mum. She goes downstairs like, so you eat Subway. And he's like, what? So here it would be, what's your McDonald's order? Or basically, what's your favorite takeout?
In the
or
US?
Fast food, yes.
Oh.
It's an important question.
Yeah, no, I actually feel like it is Burger King. I really enjoy a Whopper. And
yeah, Liv's like, no.
Don't love the Burger King fries as much, but a Whopper for sure.
No, Burger King do good fries if they are fresh.
They do good fries. They are not my favorite fries.
But they can also swing it for me if they're next to McDonald's because they do onion rings. I am an onion ring bitch.
Same.
So get me an onion, fry it, I'm happy.
Burger King, I would say, actually.
Nice, yeah. Okay. I mean, we're tacky and I love it.
I know, but I really like a Whopper. I just feel like the flavors are right. Like, it's good.
I feel like we're ending on a good spot because I want to save two other key questions for chats with C, because I feel like the vibe is going to be different and you'll be even more open and we'll just get even ruder. So, JP, my friend, thank you so much for...
Thank you for coming and being here.
I mean, I'm going to be seeing you like 3 times while I'm here. What a joy.
No, I can't wait.
And good luck with the fragrance.
Thank you.
What can we expect next year?
Newness? Yes, but less than this year.
Mm-hmm. It's too expensive.
It's too expensive.
Everything is more expensive now, guys. Everything.
Everything's more expensive. Minimums are going up. Yep. So even if there was one time where we found a formula for something and then they were like, the main active in this now... Basically, you would have to buy X amount of, or the price goes up. And so there will be less. There are there's actually 3 things that are completed for next year. We don't know if we're going to bring them out. One is a second fragrance, which is Capri based scent, late August Capri. So different than people would think lemon and sea, but it's not that. And they do very small runs. So that is actually
That's a possibility.
Yes, that's a big possibility. And then bringing a retinol back is a possibility, but it's lower on the totem pole. Because for what we specialize in, we really have that built out.
Yeah.
But you'll see updates in packaging.
Yeah.
Moving to more post-consumer recycled packaging.
No one cares.
I know.
They don't.
But then getting the testing for all of that also expensive.
They make out they do and they don't. And then the more research I do, we do recycle and we have refillable on the retinoids and the antioxidants, and you have to buy 4 refills to make it worth the while. And no one does. They do it once or twice. Right. They feel virtuous and they buy a fresh one.
Right.
So it's a bit like you feel like you're doing a bit for the environment, but actually are you contributing to it? I don't know.
Harsh reality, but it is the reality. But yes, I mean, still chugging along.
More of the same.
Yes.
More of the same. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm honored. Thank you.
No, the honor is ours. I feel like I should at least be giving you some of my American accent, but I also don't want to put you all off and enrage people. So I will just say thank you so much for listening. Tune in again on Monday for another episode of Glad We Had This Chat Takes New York. Until then, oh my God, I'm so glad we had this chat. Are you kidding me? New episodes are available every Monday and Wednesday. Follow or subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.